You've been placed on hold. Please wait.
Hi, Dan.
Oh, fucking hell, what shit, fucking shit fast everything is at the moment. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's a little bit.
Right, can I give you an update on something that you probably don't know about, unless Aubrey or Mehul has filled you in?
I haven't spoken to Aubrey or Mehul much, really. I've only spoken to Aubrey today, briefly.
Okay, well, this will kind of, I don't know whether it's good news or bad news, or we will find out. I was forwarded a document on Wednesday from Rambo Solicitors asking to settle the injunction costs to a reduced amount of 18 grand. I went through it with David. He said it over the phone. He said, obviously, it's spurious claims, but if you want to defend it, it's going to cost you $5,000, and who will know what will happen in court.
Yeah.
So he was kind of like, you can pay it or not, it's up to you, but if you want to defend it, you'll have a good case. But it's one of those. So I said, fuck it, pay it. Because it gets rid of it, if that's the end of things. This is injunction costs stuff. I spoke to Mehul briefly about it, he agreed too. It then transpired that the deadline for payment was the day before. It then transpired that the document was sent on the 21st, yet I had eyes on it on the Wednesday and actually read it properly on the Thursday. We got it on the Wednesday. I read it Wednesday evening, Thursday. Spoke to David about it on Thursday. Unfortunately, their deadline was on the Wednesday.
Yep.
So we replied anyway on Thursday and saying, listen, we're happy to pay that in full and final settlement, but we need 7 days for payment, that sort of thing, which is pretty standard. They've replied saying, no, it's too late now. We're going to court, long and short. We're going to file today for the full amount of for that amount plus an extra $5,500 for costs for
court.
If you want to settle, you can pay that amount, and we will not go to court, but sort of pay it immediately or let us know or whatever. I've told David's gone back with, would this be in full and final settlement in all costs arising from the action, i.e. I don't want to pay it and then fucking get something else squirm out of the woodwork in a week's time. Do you know what I mean? Otherwise, we may as well tell them to do one or wind the company up or whatever we're planning to do, and instead of paying $23,000 to them and then have another $50,000 they're going after as well. Do you know what I mean?
So
I just needed confirmation on that. That said, the deadline for them to get this into court was today. So to try and prevent them raising it, going to court, presenting it to court, David suggested that we would both agree a 7-day extension to the deadline. Which is next Friday. He has emailed them that about 2 hours ago. As far as I'm aware, we haven't had a response. Emmanuel basically responded at the last possible minute. So for them to say that we missed the deadline when they gave us... I mean, even if David had forwarded to me that at the right time, we would have got it on Monday, and we would have had 2 days to go through it and decide.
Why was it delayed? Is it some sort of fuck-up of David's?
I don't know. I've called him on it, and he was a tad vague, I'll be honest. So it gives me leverage, or gives us leverage with costs. So all the work.
Why doesn't David pay the extra $5,000 difference? What
I'll say to him, what I'll probably say to him, I'll say, David, to be honest, I'm not going to be expecting the bill from your work on this sort of thing. But I didn't want to raise it now and have a big to-do with him about it, because I just wanted to get it done. But I have raised it with him. I have said, listen, what's going on, mate? There's a 3-day window here that we hadn't had time for, and he was a bit vague on it. Yeah, so I didn't pursue it. He knows he's done it wrong. Plus, when I spoke to him on the phone, he told me the deadline was the Friday. So it seems like, I think long and short with David, he's pretty pissed he hasn't had any money from the Tinkler action. He's still owed $45,000.
And he's not doing it on purpose, but he's just been a bit lackadaisical about the whole Rand situation. Do you know what I mean? I think that's probably it. He's not trying to be malicious. He's just, oh, well, fucking hell, you owe me 45 grand, you bastards. I'm not, why should I be paying too much attention to this?
Why should I care, kind of thing, yeah.
You know, and I'm annoyed with him, and he shouldn't have spotted it, and he shouldn't have delayed on it, but, you know, it is what it is. So,
okay.
So that's where we are. So we'll see. We'll get a response, and then we'll make a decision, and hopefully that'll be an end to it. If it is, it is. If it isn't, then we'll cross that bridge. But that's where we are. And are you in agreement, in principle, fuck it, pay it, get rid of it, sort of scenario, as I am, or do you have another? Are you?
No,
I know you're always more willing to fight than I am, probably. But
no, like with Lambert, just if it really draws a line under it, and
that's what I'm trying to clarify.
Of course,
basically.
Because we need to get rid of Lambert.
Yeah, no.
I mean,
absolutely.
Obviously, Ranveer, I think, will settle this, and they're just trying to.
He'll work on the math angle, or
he'll find another angle, because that's what Ranveer's game plan is, basically.
Yeah, no.
Unfortunately,
we have to accept that.
And we have to accept it, but if we don't close this off, he'll do that and the math he's
doing. And, exactly. It's just, and I'll be honest, mate, I haven't got the bandwidth for it, really, very recently, especially if George is pulling away now and doing less and less. Do you know what I mean? I definitely haven't got the bandwidth for it. And when you can't do legals and not focus on the busy fuck it up. You know, I'm fully aware of that. Now, that was the easy conversation.
Yeah.
Not that this is a hard conversation, but you can... Right. The Pettman contract. Now, I appreciate your reticence with the financials as they are to sign the company up to a debt or a kind of a contract of that size, but in my head and my opinion has always been it's just a round robin transaction, at least for 100-odd grand off the number, because essentially all we're doing is, and I don't know whether George has explained this to you, I would have thought he had, but maybe he hasn't, all we're doing is unwinding the original position, and to do that Stuart's got to buy them back. And the money he uses to buy them back has to come from someone that isn't George or me. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So Jet, essentially, is the only other option. If easy, we can contract him, as we've done. And then he buys the antiques back. That whole position's unwound, so there's no risk there for anyone.
Yeah.
And the money then is paid back into Jet in lieu of an historic overpayment. Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
That was how I thought it was going to work in my head, anyway. I don't know whether George has had another conversation with you that says differently or what you thought, but if you can let me know where you're up to on it, and then...
My stance is very simple on this. That is the ideal sort of what it's supposed to be, basically, and what it's meant to be, okay? And I understand that obviously, Antiques Report, etc.,
there is still risk there, mate, and all we're trying to do is remove that.
I understand that side of things. It's unwinding a transaction. Where I have some massive gripes about it is that this contract has been going on with Stuart for a good part of 3 months. It's a three-month contract. It should not take 3 months to draft a contract. It's the only thing George has been doing. It seems to be royally fucked up beyond belief. So that has really pissed me off. The other thing that pisses me off is, given that this antique is a large six-figure sum of money, why was it slipped in at the very last minute? It just seems rather... I can't believe it was missed for a good part of 3 months, basically. It's very questionable. And then all I said to them, well, I have a massive gripe now with George, and I tried to smooth things over, but rest assured, I am not exactly happy about the situation. I've tried to be civil about it with George, but you know, George basically spends 3 months doing this contract, and then literally it comes over, Stuart agrees it, okay, I was out for a few hours, Mechel sends an email, and obviously Mechel raises it up with me shortly before the email, and I obviously see the extra money on there, and we have some questions, and
no, that's fine. I mean, I had assumed that George has spoken to you about the money.
It wasn't made clear.
In some point, maybe not bluntly, I suppose.
It was not made clear at all, really, to me. Until the, you know, it's only at the last minute. So obviously, I clearly had as due diligence.
That's why I'm asking you why
where I now have a massive problem is, George, I literally said, I don't want to sign this at the moment. I want to question it. George took that on himself to appoint new directors in Jet through resolutions that were passed.
So this is where George's paranoia kicks in, basically, isn't it?
Because
you've challenged him. See, the story I got
I didn't even challenge him. I just said, I just don't think it's something that should be signed now until a discussion has been had. And
not explain why it was that number to you and explain, like, we're just winding up the risk and it's around Robin payments and da-da-da-da-da?
It wasn't very well done, to be frank. You did a better job of explaining it now. And I read between the lines that that could be it. But the problem is when that... Why wasn't that not explained in the whole 3 months? I mean, it's the elephant in the room, okay?
I know in the 3 month period, I started talking to George about the antiques and an opportunity to unwind the transaction as part of the contract midway through that process.
It was an idea.
It wasn't something I said, listen, could we use this as an opportunity to clear the decks on all the historic stuff that poses risk? But I didn't know yet he was going to do it. At that point, it was like just a thought for him. So he may not have thought about it serious till later on or not. I don't know.
It seems a little nefarious. And then when you add up the fact that all I did was say, George, I have a question over it, literally within hours, George turns around and literally says, the last WhatsApp message I had was, oh, you've decided to choose a side. And then literally I wake up in the morning and I notice two new directors. And George threatens to resign me as a director. That says a hell of a lot about intentions. And it says, and George keeps going on about his good faith and honesty and being above board and all that. And integrity.
Yeah. I think
that flies in the face of that. I'm sorry. That absolutely flies in the face. Look, I have trusted George for a lot, but I am starting to ask a lot of questions about his behaviour, and I've made it very clear to him, even 2 months ago, I said he is alienating staff. He is treating them quite badly in some occasions. And I just said, George, you just need to listen to people. You cannot dictate to people. I've tried to give him all the advice, give him all the sort of early warning signs, and he keeps ignoring it. And then to have this has caused a huge fallout, and to be honest, now we are at a point where nobody trusts George, nobody wants to deal with him, and everybody wants him out of business, unfortunately. And that's because he has ignored advice. And I tried, you know, I said to George, it's not like you didn't see it coming. I've told you this.
I'll be honest with you, mate. George wants out of the business too. Now, that sounds extreme. I don't mean it in a... He wants to say fuck off to everything. He doesn't want to be an active role in the day to day of the business like he has.
If that's the case, then he needs to show that sort of sign, because I mean, when I had the call, in the call on the day after, I said, George, there is a discussion about this, and obviously, you know, I said, you're 52% shareholder and whatever, but people are having a problem with what is effectively a 52% shareholder dictating to them and going against their best wishes, okay? That is a massive problem. And I said to George, I will want my shares at some point. I will want my whatever, 10%. And ultimately, whilst he could argue that Matt Chung buys, he would buy Matt Chung shares or whatever, I don't necessarily think that is the only option. I think there is the other option that, you know, everybody gets watered down equally, okay? That takes George down less than 50% a little bit, and it's only a few percent. And George kept saying, oh, if with the Mahal thing, actually, he could go up from, like, 52 to 55, and that 3% makes no difference. But if it does, it shouldn't make any difference going down. He needs to lose. He wants to relax some control it shouldn't matter for him to go slightly below 50. And all it means is he can't dictate and alienate people. And
yeah,
in order to make things work, he then has to liaise and ally with people. And that's a very important thing. I'm not doing it to be selfish or be anti-George.
I agree with some of your thought process there on the share ownership side. I disagree with some of them. What I do think is that trying to bash that one out right now is a fight, is it not a fight, a discussion
I said that I'm more than happy to have that slightly after Metal Shares, but let's deal with Metal Shares first.
Let's deal with Metal Shares, but we also do need to deal with the Prepman situation as well. Metal Shares is underway, the process is underway, the email's gone out, Metal's responded a couple of times. Not, you know, about a few things, you've got your input, and everyone's, you know, in a way, that's the best thing George has done in the last bloody month, is get it all on paper with regards to the shares, because then at least everyone's on the same page, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
So well, that's good on that
front. If we're dealing with the Stuart contract, I think we ought to go back to square one. Given what George has done the other day, it was requested that George, within 48 hours, unroll the changes he made on Company's House. I think it's in his best interest.
But that's not linked to the Stuart contract, though.
Yes, it is linked to the Stuart contract because it was done as a result of me questioning the Stuart contract. So it is absolutely linked to it. And therefore, that's why I request that happen. Okay. I don't think it's a hard thing to do because ultimately those changes in Company's House were done fraudulently, and I don't think George should be in the game of doing fraudulent shareholder changes without authorisation.
On the deed of trust, weren't they, I suppose, in George's mind. That was what he was doing.
Well,
because
if you're doing a deed of trust, Mehul actually has more than 24%. He has about 26 if you did it on without the
pro
agreement.
Rata.
Is. But if you do the actual, if you look at the agreement, I know that there was some agreement done in 2015 or 16 where to do with preemption where obviously
some
shares
would be 50-50 purchase of match.
That puts Metal at whatever it is, 35, 36, 37.
Yeah. But I think 37 it is for Metal on that.
Yeah. Okay.
I think.
So,
I haven't read to be honest, I haven't read it fully yet, but yeah.
Why has George decided to ignore that and go even below the 26?
I'll tell you exactly why he's done it. He's paranoid, mate. He's reacting because he's scared. When people react because they're scared, as you know, mate. I mean, you know him pretty well, don't you? You know what he's like. They make decisions that aren't always the best thought-through decisions. Do you know what I mean?
And given that it wasn't very well thought through, maybe it would be a good thing thinking about it to unwind what was done there. That's all I'm saying. I think that's a very fair thing to say. Okay.
Mm. Well, the holdings with regards to the shares in my head are all moot anyway to a point because they don't represent what they should be anyway. They're just a transient phase in the whole process, aren't they, anyway? You know.
No, but there was an agreement that I was holding shares for everybody and everybody has agreed that. There was an agreement for George to start pissing about with the shareholdings without anyone knowing. There's a difference between consent from everyone and consent from only George. My worry is one is above and one isn't.
And I agree with that, and that's why this whole share process now is being sorted out, because it's been brought to a head, which is fine, you know, it needed doing at some point. We didn't want to do it too early, which we had a valid point, mate. If we all flip over into the UK with all the same holdings as we had before, it gives an easy target. Now, hopefully, if we settle this Ranbir costs thing, and that's out of the way, he's got no, even if he sees a target, he can't come at it through the recent case as a cost, can he? You know, so he'd have to start a brand new case if he wanted to do anything. So I'm less concerned about that now, if we can box this off with Ranbir especially. It makes me feel a lot better about it.
Ranbir's an easy thing to just throw out the water.
You know, and let's be honest, at some point we've just got to suck it off and get on with it. So and take the risk, and if it comes tits, it comes tits, and if it doesn't, it doesn't. Because it's dying as we speak anyway, if we're playing around.
In regards, in regards to the antiques transaction and getting that rolled back and what's on Stuart's contract, I mean, it has been asked many a time. I've asked it as well as Mahol, and I've asked it for my own, you know, clarity on the situation.
Yeah.
Because ultimately, if Mahol asked me a question, you know, I, as an acting director and shareholder, okay, I do actually have to look after what are supposedly Mahol's shares, okay, and therefore, he's, whether he's 26 or 36, you know, I have to, I am obliged to be accountable to that, and therefore...
I'm not ringing you to say you shouldn't say what you've said. I'm just ringing you because I know
George,
we've got to get this sorted because the next thing will be a letter from Tinkler.
George needs to provide that transparency to Mahol, because this is ultimately where the problem was when it came to buying LiveSquawk, is that basically, you know, he didn't have his shares, yet he was expected to put a six-figure sum of money on the account. And you know, while George can alienate and sort of say, oh, Mahol didn't put the money down, you know, there are two sides to a story.
Yeah, no, I said that to George. I said that to him. I said, listen, you can't fully blame Mahol for that. At the end of the day, it was a tricky sale that was very up in the air anyway. So it needed, the finances needed planning a bit more in advance. I can't blame Mahol for not putting the money down on top of the fact that he didn't have a shareholding. It's a big exposure for him, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's a big deal. And look, I don't want to be, well, I have problems. It's because of George not being transparent in this manner. What I do not want to be caught up in is me signing off stuff on behalf of George that ultimately Mahol is questioning, to the point that he's basically inferring that it is fraud. Because I don't want to be, as a director, putting myself in the firing line
as a representative
shareholder.
Yeah, no, I understand that.
That to me is a bigger priority than unwinding antiques, with all due respect.
The problem is, Mahol knows the position, and he's a player, and he will use the situation to his advantage. And I don't have a problem with that. I know what Mahol
But plays. Look, we
he's
all
a good guy.
George.
Yeah, and he's leveraging the contract to get his shares in his dad's name, which is fine. But
when we warned George many, you know, literally 2 months ago, we said, why don't we just get Stuart thing signed off and paid off, not drag it out? The fact that George yet again has dragged something out, as he has done many a times before, has actually cost the business quite dearly, just because things are dragged out and separate concerns in the business have then blurred into what is basically, to put it rather simply, a clusterfuck.
Yeah, but there has, I mean, this isn't just George. I do agree with your point. George hasn't been as good on the game as he has been historically. I agree with that.
It's very unfortunate.
Stuart is a difficult character to deal with, and that's all I'm going to say on the matter, especially when you try and pin him down on paper to a contract. He's very good at talking to you because he's a salesman. But when you try and get the contract done, suddenly it becomes a little bit, well, I didn't quite mean that when I said that. It wasn't exactly
this is why I said to
you. You know, so it's not an easy thing to deal with
Stuart.
But we did need a contract.
This is why I said to George, in some ways, you have to pay some of the money in good faith, because the cost...
But we have done that. We have done that, haven't we?
The cost of Stuart is a much... If you factor it in, I know it's not palatable, but if we take out LiveSquawk, okay, it's a large cost, and it looks like it's just giving money to Stuart, but still, you're taking out a competitor, it's still value for money, even if it isn't, you know, it is effectively giving money to Stuart in some ways, and you have to look at it rationally like that. And I said to George, I look at it like that because I don't know what you, Jamie, Stuart, George agreed, and therefore I can't sit there and work out really what the truth is, and therefore I can't take sides on that.
Well,
I'm looking at it rationally.
The only thing I can say to you, you don't have to work out the truth. At some point, you just have to trust who's telling you what they're telling you. And I agree that might, in recent times, be hard to take on George's account because he's done stuff that doesn't come across as a trustworthy action.
George so many times just to be transparent, because now we are in a situation where now
I will tell you
are
for a fact, Stuart has said stuff that he has then contradicted later on. Now, I am all of the mind people are allowed to change their mind on stuff, but don't pretend you didn't say it in the first place.
Just and saying, this is why I said to George, the conversations need to be done in a very transparent forum and not be between George and Stuart, and then George and Stuart to fall out, and then it all gets proxied through me and Matt. It should have been done from day one, all five of us, okay, or at least, you know, whether you're there or it's Alex instead or whatever, there should have been multiple people, parties to the conversation, therefore we know where the land lies in terms of what the truth is. But
Well, the truth is, on the antiques, mate, the truth is they were used to fund Stuart used the antiques to fund his case, and now he wants to buy them back because that will remove any connection to any parties that are our group, our friends, inverted commas. Mm-hmm. So there's nothing we can be exposed by, or no leverage can be used against our side by anyone we don't want to. You know, who knows where Stuart's going to be or what's going to happen in the future. If he's bought the antiques back, then that leverage can't be exposed or used on our side, and it just, you know, okay, you're saying, well, it's not really me, I'm Jeff, it doesn't really affect me, but the whole point that we did the antiques was for Jeff at the time. Do you know what I mean? Or for the company at the time. So it really is everyone's responsibility that it's unwound to protect.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with it being unwound. What I have a problem with is that in the process of this, the transparency has been completely lacking
as well.
Yeah, look what's very simply happened is money has gone from GCV, you know, into GCV from Ran and Jet, and it's been put in there for safekeeping or whatever, okay? And then it's been used for the antiques, which is fair enough, but it hasn't been very clearly highlighted to Mehul. And the way George frames it is, it's like, oh, me and Adam have put the money down for the antiques. Well, no, the money was taken out of Ram and Jet a while ago. And fair enough, George was doing... I don't have a problem with the money being moved there and sat there, but it has to be transparently said to Mehul that this money has been moved out of the company, because otherwise he does have a right to do effectively like what George did to Ranveer 2-3 years ago, and then this is blowing up as it is. And
the thing though that I don't get why everyone's getting the knickers in a twist a bit, I suppose, is because money is eminently traceable. It goes across in numbers and it comes back in numbers, and if there's a difference between those numbers, that needs to be explained. So it's not.
Yeah, but the thing is, it's not being explained. That's my point.
Yes, I know.
And I keep
will
saying
have
this
to be
to
explained. Do you know why it'll have to be explained? Because the fucking account. I was speaking to Albie earlier. We need to get these accounts done, and there's a tax bill coming. And if we don't get these accounts done, and these accounts involve the GCV transactions and all of that stuff, if that isn't done, then accounts can't be filed, and we're in danger of being struck off again.
Yes, but again, this is another thing that's been prolonged by George.
So the transparency is going to be there. It's got to be there because there's no way to hide from it. It's not something that
The transparency issue has been raised many a times. You know, this is not the first time. It's happened quite a bit over the last 18 months. And what seems to be the case is George doing the right thing, you know, 2-3 years ago. He's lost grip of things, and people are starting to question him. And when he's not answering those questions, people are starting to draw potentially the wrong conclusions, because it does, at the moment, it looks like fraud at the moment. I'm going to be rather blunt about it, and I keep warning George about this. I'm trying to do my duty to George about this, whilst at the same time, I have to obviously protect Mehul's interest. I am trying to balance this.
Well, there's lots of stuff going on. I mean, George paid 40 or 50 grand in bonuses, in cash bonuses, 18 months ago or something. That's where that, you know, there's lots of numbers here, and I don't know what they add up to in total. So that's being done or worked on. If George has taken too much money and it's being held, or if he took it out to hold it in case the company got sued and blah-de-blah-de-blah, whatever, so it wasn't stuck in the company, you know, like it was for the M&I case. They couldn't take any money out of the company. So
that
will all be calculated and tabulated, and that's absolutely fine. George has said as much to Mehul, and he knows he's got to do it for Albie, if for no other reason. Now, the one thing I'm worried about now, or trying to head off now, is the whole... I know what will happen. On Monday, we'll get another letter from Tinkler, or Stuart will. and everyone will be fucking looking at each other going, what the fuck? You know, mm-hmm. and then it will all be Monday morning crisis again. And it just seems every Monday's a crisis with this fucking company. And I just don't see the negative in a round robin transfer that literally the money's, I mean, I don't think the money's in the account to do it now anyway. I'm not sure after payroll and everything we're going to build more funds, especially if we've got to pay this 20 odd grand to Ranbir by the end of next week, which I don't know what the outcome of that yet, but that's another 20 grand lie we're going to be. I don't know on that one, but all I'm trying to gauge is, I know you're saying you don't want to put the company at risk, but if it's a round robin transaction, it's like a 3 or 4 days of risk, if you know what I mean. I appreciate the whole thing with the share, and I appreciate all that, mate. And I know if I was George, I wouldn't have done it, but I'm not saying I fully agree with what he did, but I can understand why he did it in his own head. I think he's in a place that, thank God, I've never been, and hopefully you'll never be. You know, spoken to him. You know, and it's not because he's a mean person. It's because he's a fragile person. And you might not think he's fragile, because he comes across as a dick. Sometimes he's quite tough, but he is, can be, especially with friends and stuff. He's very nervous about being betrayed and all this stuff. He's got a history of it, mate, unfortunately.
But he has to be open and transparent. When I have a call, where I had a conversation with George earlier this week, where he basically slags off Metal, it really doesn't put huge amounts of good faith into the whole situation. It's like, Metal can fuck off or whatever. Do you know what I mean?
It's too emotional. It's business, this. Yeah. It needs to be cold. It needs to be non-emotional as much as we can do it.
Just try and be balanced about it and realise.
And I say, and Mehl's got a point. He's got a valid point. He's got no shares in his father's name, and he's got no control, inverted commas, and he has had very limited transparency. He has a point. I absolutely, mate, 100% agree with that. And now the shares thing is being actioned, and that's being open to group discussion with all the parties, Matt and Anthony as well. It's no good Metal saying, no, Matt and Anthony don't count. They've got to be included. Yeah. If they don't approve it can be retracted, this whole transaction, you know. So they've got to be involved, and it's got to be done legally and above board. But I'm not ringing to try and say, what the fuck are you doing? Why haven't you signed this fucking paper? I'm trying to ring to understand why you haven't signed it, and you've kind of got me there in the end, and to try and say, reassure you that there's no dodgy motive for getting more money out of the company to then keep or not pay back in. Do you know what I mean? This is purely a round-robin process.
George needs to keep that very clearly documented, because, I mean, I've asked George...
Well, the problem with documentation on this is it couldn't be worded in a payment back. It would have to be repaid as an overpayment or something like that.
That's fine. You can, whatever words, you can agree...
Which will put your mind at rest that you're not sending a load of money out to the company without knowing what the company's going to do tomorrow because there's no money in it, sort of thing.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, as well, is people are looking at this and they're looking, it looks dodgy, and then you look at the way George has mistreated people like Alex, and Nikki is a contentious thing, because obviously Nikki's done a few things.
I don't think he treated her well, I'll be honest, but it was a personal relationship that went south.
I don't know many people who behave well. It's been very publicly exposed, unfortunately, and therefore people's interpretation
I get why they support Nikki and hate George. I understand that, mate. They see her size more than his.
I've tried to say to George many a times, just to listen to people and reflect on it. And, you know, what we have, one of the key points I said, going back to the share thing with me, is if people see a 52% shareholder dictating, if anyone makes the right moves, 2 years ago, people will be behind him. But when he starts to make consecutively bad decisions, like he has done, not necessarily bad, but people are questioning those decisions.
He is
going to be in the firing line. And I said to George, is it not
especially when he's not there? Because you can't have interaction with people day to day to explain it or just let them see the good side of you every now and again. All they hear and see is the bad side and the negative.
And is it not better to have George as a 47% shareholder, right? Everybody is making a decision collectively, and therefore, if the decision is wrong, it's not George's fault. It's a collective failure.
Well, maybe it's better to have someone else as a 52% shareholder who isn't George.
I think that's an argument for another day, or a discussion for another day.
Because I think
shareholdings need to be more equal, and look, there is a question that is bubbling up about, you know, staff getting their shares, whether it's me, whether it's Aubrey, whether it's Linton, etc.
Yeah, no, I agree that, but also, with a caveat to that, that there has been, George has outlined some possibilities in the documentation that might work in that direction. But you've got to think, mate, just giving you George's side or my side, if it was me with George, is like to ask someone who has a controlling shareholding of a company to give away that control. That's a big ask for anyone.
Yes, it is a big ask.
It is a real big ask. You know, you don't walk into a company and say, I want you to give up your controlling influence on this company, please, and give your shares to me.
But George also has to recognise why he had that 52%.
Because he took the company from Schneider. That is why he took
that was done with me and Adam Linton as well.
No, it was done with your help, but we couldn't have done it without you coming along or Linton.
And therefore, some of us deserve some shares. And if that means he goes a little bit below, he has to recognise what people do. It's not just the George show, unfortunately. Much as I have had lots of trust with George and thought, you know, he's done some great things in the past, you know, he has to be accountable, and that's all I will say on that matter.
We've been on for ages. So, the share thing, we've got something rolling on it, and the metal situation will be sorted out. The longer term discussions with regard to employee shares and the control
that
issue,
can be done at a later date.
I'm bagging. It's going to be a tough discussion, mate. I'm not denying it. But we can't have it now on top of everything else. We've got the setup. We've got to see if we can get Alex back in, get everything set up, get the structures done in the company. Get everyone on board. Everyone's fucking frazzled to fuck about everything. Mehl's shook the cage with his emails, which haven't helped, but he felt the need to do it, so, you know, I'm not going to fucking have a skeleton.
And this is why I got a bit sort of nervous last week when you kind of called me and sort of said, well, everything's all okay, because I knew it wasn't. And I can assume that George told you to say that to me to appease me, but it really, you know, it riles me up really a little bit to hear George thinking everything's okay when it's clearly not. You know, he needs to be. He's almost like he's deluded in that sense.
It was more me trying to get a handle on the situation because I didn't know how everyone was reacting. If I'm honest, I was just hearing rumours, and I can't take what George says on face value because I know he paints a picture that is not accurate, and I don't think he does it on purpose. He just portrays his side of the argument, as everyone does. You know, I was trying to do was to get information. I'm trying to not put you in a corner, like say, oh, what the fuck have you done? What's going on? What's your show?
Yeah,
it was more like, just tell me without me.
I
know I don't know the business, mate. I know I don't know all about what you guys do down there, but I know a lot about people. I'm good with people.
Fair enough.
I'm trying to get.
I realise that you're trying to patch up when George loses his temper sometimes.
You know,
but
we need George, mate. I'm not saying, you know, if George goes nuts or goes crazy, it all goes tits. It does. I'll tell you that straight away.
We all know that.
We need this situation managed. And if that, you know, and same with Mehl, if Mehl goes nuts and crazy, it goes tits. If you decide to walk out and pull the plug on the tech, and Linton doesn't squawk, it goes tits. We've got to please everyone. So, I'll let you go, mate. Are you free to have a quick chat over the weekend, maybe?
Not long, probably.
What I'll do is I'll probably WhatsApp you and then just give me a call back or something. Okay, then, mate.
All right, then. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Cheers, bye-bye.
Bye.